It's good to be here, and I'm sure many of you are excited about your color. How many people are excited about your color? How many people are not excited about your color? Excellent. Okay. We'll try to help with some of that. But yeah, we were talking about communication, how we interact with other people, and how we can learn and grow, and we are going to take some time to teach that today. And I promised some things that Paul taught us that can challenge us. And Dave will come up and we'll look at some practical application. And the small group on Wednesdays will add more practical application, which has been very, very beneficial for me. And I think those closest to me and for those who have been willing to participate in this. Now, we talked several things last week. One thing we talked about was our ratio. We had a positive to negative ratio. Who remembers that? Okay. So we talked on this positive to negative ratio. We talked about the failing three studies, businesses, families, and marriages. The failing ratio was one positive to one negative. The average, mediocre, was three positive to one negative. Now that's pretty challenging. The thriving was five positive to one negative. Keep in mind last week, I said this is your communication with others and also within yourself. Your own self-talk is supposed to be a positive ratio. But some of us had a lot of work to do. How many of you said, I took some strides, I made some progress this week in my positive ratio? Excellent. Many of you did. That's very encouraging. I appreciate it. And I want all of us to start heading in the direction of being closer. If you say, man, I'm just not a 5-to-1 yet, that's okay. Are you progressing? Don't just give up. Don't just say, I knew it wouldn't work. No, no, no. Jump back in and say, what can I do to improve my ratio? In fact, your own self-talk. We talked about this. Some people really struggle with beating yourself up in your self-talk. You're not kind to yourself at all. So I want you to keep improving that ratio. So right now, if you are with somebody, excellent. If you're in your seat by yourself, excellent. You are going to take a few seconds right now. Think about it. What can I do with some positive self-talk? I'm going to improve my positive ratio right now. And if you're with someone you know next to you, you can do too right now. Talk to yourself and talk to them. Okay, we're ready? If you're with someone and you think, oh, I don't have anything positive to say, you can find it, all right? We're with God's help. You can do it right now. So give yourself right now some positive ratio in your self-talk and then to the person next to you. Ready? Go ahead and do it. I'm not seeing it. Brett, I didn't see one thing change right there. Come on, man. Your face didn't show it. I was just looking right there. All right, just making sure. All right. You thanked yourself? Excellent. Okay. What you just did right there took a few seconds, and you made some progress. That's what I want to happen. And some of you right there say, I don't deserve to give myself any positive. That's not what we're talking about. You start acknowledging how you're growing. You start seeing how you are making strides forward. We are supposed to improve our ratios. And keep in mind, we also mentioned a ratio last week, 7:38:55. Okay? All communication, we say it's all just verbal. It's just the words. That's not true. When you give your words, that is 7% of our communication. 7%. So you may think words are important. Absolutely, they're important. But we need to also understand, more than our words, what else is very important? Our tone. As I said, some of you get sharp tone. My wife has told me that before. My tone gets sharper. Wow, someone else agrees with me back there, I guess. All right? Our tone can get sharper, more intense. She's like, well, your eye gaze got a little more intense. I saw your muscles in your jaw. I said, well, you see my muscles all the time. But my muscles in my jaw got more intense. She starts talking about that. There's a little bit of an edge to your tone. I'm like, wow, you paying that much attention. 38% our tone. Does anybody know what the 55 is? Body language. Body language can scream to everyone around us. Our body language. Everyone show me your favorite body language gesture right now. Go ahead. interesting what everyone just did. Shrug shoulders, look down, put your hands out. Someone crossed their feet, put them up in the Zen pose, did this here. All sorts of things. All right. I want you to focus on communication, words, tone, body language, positive to negative. Those are reviews from last week. We're going to look at what Apostle Paul challenged us, just a few verses I find to be extremely challenging, helpful for me. Ephesians 4:26. We'll look at this short passage, pull out of it. Then Dave will come up and we'll look at our colors more in depth. So if we can, Ephesians 4:26, 27. Some of these verses you've heard before, we're going to apply them very specifically to communication in the context of what we're talking about right now. It says, and don't sin by letting anger control you. Keep in mind, anger is a power emotion. Anger makes us feel strong. Some of us feel weak. We don't like that, so we go to anger. Now, I'm sure certain colors here will get angrier in different ways. Some of us are more in-your-face, explosive type anger. Some are more internalized anger. When I studied anger, they said anger is a secondary emotion, meaning there is a primary emotion and then a secondary. But the primary, many times, behind our anger is a weak emotion. Weak meaning I feel hurt. I feel disrespected. I feel something that I want to show. I feel vulnerable. So you don't want to say, oh, I feel vulnerable. I feel weak. You don't want to do that. So what do? You get angry because anger gives us that adrenaline, gives us that power. And it says, don't sin by letting anger control you, because anger is that power emotion. Anger makes us think almost illogically, irrationally. Anger makes us do things that we regret. I don't want that to happen to you. Don't let anger control you. And I understand why we go to anger. But you need to pause. Do you know that many times I say if you can delay anger by 60 seconds, 60 seconds, that you'll do, I'm sorry, I don't remember exactly, how much fewer actions you'll regret. The buildup of anger, 60 seconds. Think of how many short breaths that is. Think of, let me have 60 seconds right now just to pause. Far fewer regrettable actions. What happens? Anger controls us. If I ask right now how many people anger has ever controlled you, if you're honest, every one of us raise our hands. It can be so detrimental. At work, at home, as a parent, everything. Don't let anger control you. It says, don't let the sun go down while you were still angry. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. Sometimes in early marriage, I thought, well, my wife and I are having an argument. We got to stay up until we get this fixed. At 2 in the morning, when you're still arguing, it's not productive to continue to stay angry and do this. How many of you have ever tried that before? And believe me, I'm stubborn. Once we start, we're not stopping. She's like, can we just talk in the morning? No, the Bible says you can't go to bed while you do this. Okay. This is really, in my opinion, talking more about don't let anger linger. Let it go. And again, sometimes anger is expressing. Sometimes anger is hidden inside of us. We hold on to that anger. Again, I can't believe they're doing that. That is where anger does control. And it can actually do very, very just deep parts inside of you to hurt you physically. Anger can really hurt us if we hold on to it. It says the anger gives a foothold to the devil. Do you know when you get angry, it helps us to think negatively about other people, and the devil can move in, and the devil can really start to work in your heart and your life because he operates through anger. He doesn't want you to think calmly and clearly. And anger is so detrimental to our health. So let go of our anger. So the first thing is, what does anger make us do in our communication? Usually hurtful things. Paul is challenging us to say, let's get past that. Let's go to the next verse there. This is a little bit of a peculiar verse. If you are a thief, in the middle of the context, by the way, if you're a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good, hard work, and then give generously to others in need. Now, this could be a real practical verse. Hey, instead of just going out talking about other people, instead of going around perpetuating that anger, man, go get busy doing something productive. Go help people. But also think sometimes, our anger, if we're talking about the verse before. We steal hope from other people. We steal joy from other people. We steal enjoyment and fun from other people. We're taking that from them. And we start just saying, what can we do? Instead of getting busy, talking, being productive, being helpful, and giving generously, what can we do productively that our anger keeps me from doing? Because when I'm really angry, who am I really concerned about? Me. This is saying go help and benefit the people around you. When I'm living in anger, I don't do that. So let's be practical. Let our anger go. In your color, what does your anger look like? Go to the next verse. This is where Paul gives us three filters for our communication. If you had a filter for water and you poured it through the filter and it filtrates out all those things, we're going to add three filters to our communication. How much of your communication, if you followed these three filters, would actually get through? If we start at 100 at the top of the funnel, if it goes through these three filters, is it 10% would make it out? If we muted you on every word that didn't fit these three filters, what would get through? Some of you think, well, I don't, my partner would be pretty much silent. All right, we're going to look at that right now. Don't use foul or abusive language. Okay? Don't use a language that's going to be abusive. It's going to tear people down. Don't use foul or abusive language. Don't walk around calling people names. Don't walk around just looking for that negative person and that negative in people. Don't use foul or abusive language. What right there, okay? Some of you are like, well, that took out 90% of my communication. All right, excellent. Some of you said it took out 2% of your communication. All right, so that's the first filter. So use foul or abusive language. Second, let everything you say be good and helpful. So you may think, every word I say is not supposed to just get my opinion off my chest. Everything is supposed to be good and helpful. We are supposed to look around how we can help other people. That means, who are my words for? Others. What am I supposed to use my words for? To be good and help other people. So if you use that as your second layer, how much of your communication is still getting through? What's happening there? The third filter, your words are supposed to be an encouragement to those who hear them. So we're only supposed to use words to encourage, put courage in to some other person, not take courage away. We're supposed to show them what they're capable of. If we added those three filters, how much of your communication would be deleted, would be silent? How much would get through? How much do we follow Paul's three filters here? How many of you would like to live in a home with someone who followed these three filters? How would you like to work in a workplace where they followed all three of these filters? No harsh or abusive language. Everything was just to be good and helpful to people around you. And the third is, everything they did was supposed to be beneficial and helpful and building everyone up around you. How many times do we use our communication to tear others down, to get our opinion across, to make them just see what they got to see? I got to say it. How many of you said, man, they've got to hear what I have to say, and yet a few minutes later, you're apologizing for what you had to say? We have to watch our communication. Next verse says, don't bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you'll be saved on the day of redemption. God's Spirit, if you're a Christ follower, a Christian, lives inside of us. And he has to partake in everything that we do and interact with other people. So every time I use my words, my communication to other people in a way that is not kind, in a way that is not like Christ, in a way that is not following Paul's filters, every time I do that, the Holy Spirit has to cringe and live inside of me. This is if you are in a place where someone starts getting loud, volatile, angry, and you're with them, but in that moment, they're embarrassing you and you do not want to be with them. You're ashamed of them. Or if you're riding in a car and someone is getting really angry or yelling at someone or acting a certain way, and you're in the passenger seat, and you're like, right now, you're shrinking down and kind of looking around and hope no one sees me right now. Have you ever been there before? None of you? Never you ever been in a car before? How many people, you are the one driving? You're like, oh, they can deal with it. All right. That's how the Holy Spirit can sometimes be inside of us. We're forcing Him to stay within us and have to endure critical, harsh, unkind, uncaring words that tear people down. Words that are just detrimental, harsh, unkind language. As I said, when you're alone, this is your self-talk. Do you think the Holy Spirit of God loves living inside of you as you verbally berate yourself and tear yourself down? Do you think that He's saying in Ephesians 4:29 that you're supposed to tear yourself down, but just not others? Do you realize you're also supposed to build yourself and encourage yourself? Do you know that you're supposed to be able to look in the mirror and see who God created? Do you know you're supposed to empower yourself? Do you know you're supposed to lead yourself with your own words? Do you know you're supposed to look inside and think, you know what, this is what I can do. This is the progress I have made. This is how I am progressing. What are you doing this week to improve your self-talk ratio? If you really want to make an impact out there, I think you need to start by making an impact in here. Let's improve our communication ratio. Ephesians 4:31 says, get rid of. Now, right now, how many people have something in your house you know that you need to get rid of? Hey, my wife is raising her hand. If something does sit around for 5 minutes, she gets rid of it. I've gone and looked and looked and looked for something before, and I'm like, man, have you seen this? She goes, yeah, I got rid of that. I'm like, well, that was mine. Oh, I didn't think you wanted that thing. It was all worn. I'm like, man, it was amazing. I loved it. She got rid of it because it wasn't beneficial anymore. So I sat down and started crying. I wasn't not sure what to do. Get rid of. We get rid of things that are not supposed to be there. Paul is saying, I want to challenge you to get rid of these things in your heart and in your life. Why don't you take an inventory and let's look at what he's saying. Get rid of. Throw them out. Bitterness. Are you holding on to bitterness? Someone hurt you? Say they shouldn't have. I understand, but it's still there. Get rid of. Dispose of. Bitterness. Rage. Anger. Harsh words. Slander. Tearing other people down. As well as all types of evil behavior, with just repaying people in a way that is not Christ-like. What if every single one of us got rid of those things? I want you to right now think, and you think, it would be utopia, that's fine, but just think. What if in your heart, just on yourself, you got rid of these things, you removed them? What would your view of yourself be? What would your self-respect be like? What would your self-confidence be? Now, let's just say in your home, every person did this right here and got rid of those things. What would your home atmosphere be like? Now, let's extend. Let's just say you go to work and every person at work does this. They get rid of those things. Can you think of how amazing that would be? Encouraging. Edifying. Building people up. Self-confidence would go up. Capability would go up. My opinion, productivity would increase. Paul is saying, do this for you. It's not we're trying to be mean, we're trying to help you. You think, well, how do I do this? Next verse, he addresses it. Instead of, so how do you get rid of it? Instead, do this. Be kind to each other. In our society, for some reason, kindness is viewed as being soft, but it's not. Sometimes being kind, and believe me, there's some people that are pretty challenged being kind to. You ever found them before? Sometimes being kind is one of the strongest things I can do. It's hard. Instead, be kind to each other. Say, man, I love the person next to me, but you know what? Sometimes we're not kind to the person next to us. Kind, tender-hearted. You get hard. You get hurt. I'm not going to open up again. Some colors, in this case, blues and greens, especially, have a harder time being tender-hearted, giving people another chance. Say, you know what? I'm going to trust them again. He's saying, I want you to do that. Why? Forgiving one another, not because they deserve it, not because they earned it, but God, through his son Jesus, forgives us. What if we added these filters to our heart and to our life? Our gift of words is to help and build others. It's not to express our opinions or views. Do you know how much of culture today we view communication as a way to express our opinions and views? Say, do I have a wrong opinion or view? No, I'm saying that's not the issue. Whatever your opinion or view is yours. I'm not trying to dictate or control that. I'm just saying if that's all we do with our communication, we're going to be divisive and we're not using our words to build each other up. My first challenge to myself and to you is to use all my communication to communicate encouragement, hope, and to build you up, not to express my opinions and views of how you're wrong. How are we using our words this week? Dave, why don't you come on up? Dave is going to take us through some, not all of this obviously, but some of these challenging things that we looked at with our colors and try to make this work. And you can right now think, which color am I? We have a couple people who are very confused. We are going to talk you through, it's kind of an overview of how you can understand it. We'll go much more into depth on Wednesdays, but we want you to start thinking this. And Dave, where do you want to start with? You got it?
Yep.
Okay.
All right, so I know you already have the name tags, but who's yellow? Let's start there. Who's yellow or part yellow or somewhere in the mix? All right, there we go. We like yellows to go first because they're usually the most ready. Okay, who's red?
That's it? Okay. How come reds are doing this? Come on, reds, represent.
All right, who's blue? Blue or...
Whoa,
man.
Whoa.
What a great group. Look at this. All right, green. Green, there we go. There we go. Greens typically take the longest, so we let you go last, build up the energy there. That's good. Okay. So in a second, this starts out, if you think of it like a funnel, it starts out very broad. We're going to build up some stereotypes about each color. As we go through, we're going to add some nuance. We're not going to get through everything today. Fortunately for you, there's going to be a small group where we get into a little bit more detail, and we cover a lot of that. So shameless plug there. And I don't think it costs anything, so even better. But as we go through this first slide, we'll see in a second, it's going to talk about each language. Okay, each color is looking for different things. They have different tendencies, so we're going to take a look at what those are. I want you to think as we go through, one, which one is me, right? So that way you can understand why you might have certain reactions, but also think about the people close to you. Which one are they? How can I interact better with them? What are they looking for when we have conversations? We're going to get into a little bit of all of that. So we'll go to that next slide there. Here's kind of the defaults. Yellows speak the language of people and fun. Woohoo! Yellows are so exciting, yes. Reds speak the language of power and control.
Yes.
Greens speak the language of calm and harmony.
I always think of Rafiki. Isn't that the guy? The monkey from a long time ago? No one knows?
Yeah, it's a deep cut. All right, blues.
That's a compliment.
I didn't say it was an insult.
I said deep cut.
Yeah, deep cut, like way back.
Oh, okay. How many people did not understand what he just said? All right, we talk about, I said this, you heard that.
I think the people who didn't understand me are the ones who did understand the Rafiki comment.
Oh, okay. All right.
Blues speak the language of perfection and order. And it matches because blues are perfect, and that's just how it goes. So you can see this is also a little bit of a matrix. Or you can see on the left side, yellows and greens are naturally more people-oriented, where reds and blues are more task-oriented. Right, so focused on the people, focused on getting whatever it is accomplished, and forget your feelings. We'll deal with it later.
Let me clarify in that one. People-oriented does not necessarily mean that you are just walking around not getting things done. You're people-oriented, meaning you're more sensitive to people and their needs and trying to make sure they're happy and pleasing them. Where the right side, the task-oriented, you're more concerned about task. What did we get done? We yell in greens and we're worried about, what did it feel like to get done? How are you feeling about this? Sometimes the red and blue can be like, I don't care how you feel, what did you get done today? Does that make sense? It's not right or wrong, it's not good or bad, it's just an understanding.
Right, you can see next on the bottom, greens and blues are more introverted. And this is a little different definition of introvert, extrovert than maybe you're used to for this test. For this, introvert is someone who thinks and who processes before they speak. So you take in the information, you think about it, and then you give it back. Reds and yellows are more extroverted. These are people who think and who process by speaking. Okay, so they're going to think out loud. Whenever he brings something, I gave this earlier, the same when he brought this, said, here's this book. I think it's pretty good. What do you think? I, being a smart person in a blue, said, I'm going to go read it, and I'll let you know what I think about it. He said, no.
Me,
tell
being
me
a
what
very
you think.
Smart person. And
said, no, tell me what you think. Right, because he wants to think about it together, because he's an extrovert in that way. I want to go think about it myself, and I'll tell you what I think after, because I want to make sure I have a fully formed opinion, where he's more interested in just getting there. Right, let's get there together, and let's get it faster.
It's an external processor. I like to externally process, meaning I like to think, come to my conclusion, and then talk about it out loud. I hear myself say it, and I'm more objective in how I hear it. To me, that's an external processor. My wife and Dave are a little more internal processors. They'll think, then they have this telepathy that goes between them both, and they think about it more, and they think about it, then they start talking about it, then they come to their final conclusion, where I like to bounce ideas back and forth, almost like volleying. It's a little more Jesus-like what I do, but we're helping them to get there. But that's where it can be different. I talked to a couple in another state yesterday. They were talking about finance. They were having some friction, and she was asking questions, and she said she timed it. She waited 20 minutes. He didn't say one thing. Should I wait 20 minutes right now and just let you feel how awkward that could be? So I said, well, to him, I said, well, what was causing you to sit there? Because I was just thinking. I want to say, well, think out loud. But she is a red, he is a blue. It's not right, wrong, but we have to figure out how to navigate through that.
All right. Can we relate to some of these? Okay, as we go through, the first time I tried to match, so it was very visual. I was red and blue was very close, wasn't sure which one. As I went through, there's a few that gave it away, specifically manipulation, which we'll hopefully get to, that gave it away. I was more of a blue. Okay, as you go through, you might relate to several of these. You might see some of it, even when we get to strengths and weaknesses in a second. You might see several that's totally fine. I think as you go, you'll probably be able to pick out which one is your dominant and your secondary. All right. Usually, you have a couple, and unless, again, he's 19 red. He's only got one wrong. He's really got to fix it and get it up to 20. But most of the time, you'll see several in there. All right. Let's go to the next tier.
Right. But I understand. But as we go through, especially on Wednesday, the more information, then you start thinking you have a proclivity to go down one path or another. Now, you can go to it under pressure, but you're going to have a natural that can take over. He was really close, and he'll show you the slide that helps him define which one he is, and information can help there.
It might take you a while, is what I'm picking up on.
Now, there are certain people that are demon-possessed that really do struggle. No, I'm just kidding. I just threw it out there.
All right, we're going to look at a few strengths and weaknesses. It's important to note, before we get there, the strengths and the weaknesses are intentionally contradictory. Okay, you're not going to be able to be both at the same time almost ever. You're either going to operate in your strengths or you're going to operate in your weaknesses. Okay, the goal is to help you operate in the strengths as much as possible. Okay, so don't feel like if you see the yellow strengths and you're a blue, you don't have to think, oh, I'll never be able to do that. This is also not an excuse. Right? The information is a tool to help you, again, operate in your strengths in the way that you're uniquely and innately wired by God, right? How can I be the best that I can be? That's what we're looking for. This is not, well, I'm this color, so I can't fill in the blank. We'll talk about it more in a minute. Every color can lead. Every color can also follow. You may do it a little bit differently, right? You might be called to a slightly different thing based on what God's given you, but it's not some excuse to say, oh, well, I can never do any of these other things because I don't have this certain color, right? You can make things happen. You can do whatever it is that's necessary. You might just go about it a little bit differently. So we'll get to yellow strengths. The key word here you'll see across both is loud, because a lot of times it's pretty obvious that yellow's in the room. In yellow strengths, and if you're a yellow, think about this. Is this you, right? You don't have to say it out loud. If you're not a yellow, think about somebody you know and see if you know a yellow who's done either of these things. In their strengths, they're magnetic, inspiring, and encouraging. They're great storytellers who bring joy, laughter, and optimism to everything that they do. Does that sound good to people? Does that sound like, do you want strong yellows in your party? Probably, right? That sounds like a good time. Okay, now let's switch. In their weakness, do you want this person at your party? Somebody who elaborates and exaggerates, speaks too loudly and interrupts others, and has a tendency to be forgetful and naive. Does that sound like a good time? For me as a blue, I think it sounds like fun because I'll make fun of them the whole time, right? But that's about it, right? Not somebody you really want to be around all that much. You have the option to be either one. So we want to operate in your strengths, understanding your weaknesses so that we can learn how to get out of them. Let's go to the next one. We'll recap each of them in just a minute. Reds, keyword here is powerful across both. In their strengths, reds are responsible, decisive, and good at delegating. They can be dynamic leaders who excel at managing tasks and projects. Does that sound like somebody who's useful to have in different scenarios? Probably yes. Getting a little bit of head nod. We're warming up a little bit. Okay. In their weakness, do you like this? If you were said, your boss at work is going to be just like this, how many of you would be excited? Somebody who argues, dominates, uses a harsh tone, has a tendency to be bossy, impatient, and intolerant. Anybody want that for their leader? Even your coworker. Do you want your coworker to be like this, who's not supposed to be your leader all the time? Probably not. Any reds relate to either side of this? You don't have to tell me which one yet. A few people brave enough. All right, there we go. There we go. All right, yellows, any of you relate to what you saw on the screen earlier? All right, there we go. There we go. Let's keep going. I think we got blues next. The word here is deep, right? Because they can go self-explanatory. They go pretty deep on this stuff usually. In their strengths, they're both analytical and creative. They're perfectionists who are detailed, orderly, compassionate, often artistic, and or musical. In their weakness, they can remember the negatives, fear failure, and have low self-esteem. They have a tendency to be judgmental and critical. I'm not sure why that judgmental is on the weakness side. That really should be over on the strengths. But, you know, any blues relate to this? As a blue, yes, I definitely do. I
love. Why would a blue have lower self-esteem? Why would a blue have a challenge of having lower self-esteem? And so you can drive yourself to a perfection standard, and you can sometimes hold others to that standard. And I also found all of us struggle with very negative self-talk. Blues really struggle with this. That means if you give a blue a compliment, they can deflect. If you give a blue any sort of constructive criticism, it can cut deeply. Does that make sense? So this is me living with a blue, married to a blue, and praying one day she's delivered and becomes a red, but she hasn't yet. But this is just partly we need to understand, and reds with that harsh tone, you have to just kind of watch, because we are not trying to dominate as a red. You're trying to get things done. But it can come across as dominant if we're not careful. So this is not anyone in yellows. They're not trying to be forgetful, and they're not trying. This is just what we can have as a two-edged sword. It can be a weapon, which is not good, and a tool, which is very constructive and helpful. So we just got to watch how we use our skills. I think she has a question for you.
What does analytical If you think of internal processing, you want to take in all the information, and then the analytical would be you're almost sorting it out mentally. You want to really think through and find the exact right answer. So for me, a lot of times that's why I'm an internal processor, because I don't want to put out a half-formed opinion because it might be wrong, right? And I need to be perfect. So I'm going to take all of it in.
It could be. It can really cause overthinking.
Yeah.
And reds want action. Blues can overthink.
Yellows want to make sure you're having fun while you're doing it, and green doesn't want people to argue while you're doing it.
So friction can make a couple very uncomfortable, and it's adrenaline for a red. And right. Yellows just start laughing nervously, trying to change the subject so that there's no conflict. Yeah.
Look at that butterfly. All right, in a second, we're going to do green. Also, warning, it was good last time. We're going to ask if you have any Bible characters. I was not able to have them take the test, so I don't know for sure. But if you have any Bible characters that you think might be each color, to me that's a good exercise just to get you thinking. Most of the time, in my opinion, once you learn these concepts, you can recognize others' primary color with a pretty high degree of accuracy. You won't be perfect every time, but you can start to see other people and what they're looking for, which will help you interact better. So in a second, we're going to ask you which characters you think may be yellow, red, blue, and green. But we'll go to the green, strengths and weaknesses. The keyword here is peaceful, right? If you think both sides of this, don't want to rock the boat, right? Whether it's strengths or weaknesses, that's kind of what they're going for a lot of the time. In their strengths, greens are easygoing, steady, calm, and patient. They're loyal friends and good listeners who excel at leading people. In their weakness, they respond to stress by being slow and stubborn. They have a tendency to avoid conflict, disengage, or be too compromising. I see the green family laughing. That's good. All right, how many greens you can relate to one side or the other of this, at least?
This could be called external conformity. But internally, nope. So illustration to me paints this picture, doing this with a leadership team, and the guy in charge of ops was very much a red, and not even a really good red, just a little condescending, coming across the wrong way, telling the CFO, yeah, you got to get this done. I don't know why we're not getting this done. When are you going to do this? When are you going to do this? Kind of pushing. And the CFO was a green. So he's pushing. I need it done by then. Are you going to do this? Sure. I'm going to get right on this. Awesome. So I could sense something different. So on a break, I asked the green, are you going to get right on that? Nope. So why'd you say that? Because that's what they wanted to hear. I said, you don't like being pushed. Nope. Okay. So do you see externally, peace. Internally, I'm going to be what? Slow, stubborn. I'm going to not conform. So you think I'm giving you your way. You think you're powerful, but I'm not going to. I can hold on to it. And I will hold my line in that way. So that's one illustration of a green, how that can work in conflict. Does that make sense to everybody?
So we're saying, let's pretend you're the red. I know, it's very, very hard. Well, let's pretend you're the red in that scenario. You're at a meeting. Say, hey, can this thing get done? And the other person says yes. You come back to the meeting next week. This thing is not only not done, it has no progress being made. As a red, what do you think a red is going to think about the green? Yeah, exactly.
So what are you going to do to fix that laziness? In a very calm... That would definitely be a change for you.
Now, was in this scenario, because I think she's right, right? That's what I think a red would do, and that's what most reds would do. Is she correct that the green was being lazy? No. Yeah, the red says yes. No, the green wasn't being lazy. The green is intentionally using a different language, right, that the red's not used to. That's how the green is saying this is a really stupid idea, and we should not do this. This is dumb. Right? They're just not saying it out loud because they don't want to cause this big confrontation. So the red is then going to operate, assuming this person's lazy. They may try to get this person moved to a different position. They may try and get them kicked out of the company. Like, you could go really extreme with it. Are they correct? Well, no, they're just speaking different languages. Right? Now, is it true in that case the green probably should handle things a little differently? Probably. Yeah, that's probably not the healthiest, just to say yes and not to address it at all. But you can see how this causes problems. Right, so we want to understand where people are coming from, what language are they using, so we can operate on better information. Because if the red knew that the green actually just disagreed with the whole objective, either you could go and then you could convince them, or you might even better get some really good insight into why that actually is the wrong thing to do, and now we're going to take better steps forward. Right? There's positive solutions there, but you have to have the right information to make the best decision. And as a blue, of course.
When you interact with other people, whether in a work setting, home setting, personal growth, and you're trying to interact with other people better, just this is where understanding yourself first. Okay, so don't sit there and think, oh man, I hope this person's getting this. I hope you're getting this. Because I am supposed to also adapt to other people. In that case we just gave up the red and the green, both of them were not operating in their strengths. So when you both operate in weaknesses, you're just going to make the problem worse. You have to start leaning into what can I do to change and what can I do to listen better, observe better. This is why we're doing this, whether it's at work or it's at home or at the person you look at in the mirror. Just to tell yourself you're bad, you're dumb, you're lazy, that's not going to solve anything. We want to start interacting because none of us want to be a problem to be fixed. None of you. If we're not trying to fix you right now. We joke about which color is better. We're not trying to fix you right now. We're trying to give you information that can guide you to saying, this is where I can make some changes and adjustments. We're trying to be open, not resistant. If you feel I'm trying to force something upon you, you can get resistant. If you're resisting something, that makes you stubborn. We don't want either one. We want to be open to this.
I said we were going to do Bible characters, and I was thinking about this from the last time. I think I'll go first, because yellows, there wasn't a lot of people coming up with. I think Joseph in the Bible was probably yellow and red, right? Because he was able to lead very effectively, right? He was able to plan ahead. He was ready to take action. Also, he must have been pretty good with people to advance in the places that he advanced. And when he was young, he just said whatever came to his mind in front of his brothers and clearly was not filtering.
He told a lot of stories,
including how he was going to be better than all his brothers and they were going to worship him, and that probably wasn't the best thing to say in the moment. I would say, to me, Joseph is somebody who's yellow or red. Anybody have somebody in the Bible for any of the colors that you think come to mind? Job is a green? Yeah? What's your thought process? Yeah, that's interesting.
I like your thought process.
Anybody else? You show red and yellow again?
On screen?
Yeah, that works.
Java? Mm-hmm. I'm in your way. I don't know what you want.
Yeah, that's a good point. I could see that.
You guys
are
really starting to think. That's mm-hmm. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And David was a man after God's own heart, so God does really.
Can you please don't give him any encouragement?
No, those are good insights, though. I think you're right. I think you're right. Okay, so in a minute, if we're good with the red and yellow, and blue one more time. Yes. It's just because you're perceiving Jonah as negative. That's why you're saying no. That's. I'd have to think more about Jonah. I'm not sure.
Who would you say is a red?
Yeah, Peter. Peter's one that's got to be. He just says what he thinks. Sometimes he's right. Sometimes he's wrong. But he's going to let you know exactly what his opinion is. And he's going to say something and make something happen, whether it's good or bad, throughout. So I think Peter's a good one.
That's what. Okay, let me ask my wife. What do you think? That's where
Mary's blue.
That could go. That's what I'm wondering that, because Mary was much more of the people. Martha was much more of the task. And that's how they connected and how they felt and looked deeply. This is where you get a glimpse of a person and you start to understand what they are and how they interact. So I think it's interesting when you read the Bible, look how Jesus, if you're looking at the Gospels, how he interacted with each one. You know, John, in my opinion, could have been, I think, a blue, maybe green, and how he handled, how he found strength from attaching himself to someone powerful like Jesus. Even John, think about it. I'm the disciple whom Jesus loved. Well, Peter had to say, John, shut up. Jesus loves everybody. And John had the original shirt, Jesus loves me. And he's like, oh, Jesus tells us he loves everybody. Why did John have to validate that? Why did John have to say, as we ran to the tomb, well, I did outrun Peter to the tomb. He writes that in the gospel. I mean, that's kind of a weird statement to have to put in there. But you can see John thinks he's here. So he's trying to show times where he is up here. I think John was very hard on himself, in my opinion, in his self-talk, in his view of himself. I think that's why he felt so encouraged by the fact that, man, Jesus loves me. He was so encouraged by the fact that I get to hang around a big, strong guy like Peter. And in fact, this is how I beat him. This is what I did. I'm not criticizing John. It's interesting to see us in these characters. Go ahead.
All right, this next slide is innate needs. So this doesn't mean you only need whatever's in your category, but when we communicate, we typically have something that we're looking for from the conversation, from our communication. There's things that mean more to us. So a lot of times, especially when we're misunderstanding, it's because we're looking for different things from the conversation. So if we understand what the other person is looking for, then sometimes we can help provide that, and then we can get what we're looking for. So we'll go through yellows. Their innate needs are approval, acceptance, attention, and affection. Reds look for loyalty, a sense of control, appreciation, and credit for their work. Greens look for harmony, the feeling of worth, lack of stress, and respect, where blues look for safety, sensitivity, support, space, and silence. Now, I'll be first, as a blue, I don't love how this makes me look. I think it makes me look kind of soft. I'm not a big fan of that. But there's some of these that I do need, right? Specifically, the biggest one for me out of this group, I think, would really be the last grouping there, but space and silence. Give my wife is a yellow. She was here for the first service. When I used to do construction, when I would get home, right, my wife was not able to be with me all day, which just, I know, I don't know how you'd make it all week, right? And she was obviously she just needed me, right, by the time I got home, right? Where for me, I got home, what am I looking for? Well, I was looking for some space and silence because I just was at work all day. She's looking for attention, affection, approval, acceptance. So she was like the perfect wife, right? I'd get home and dinner was on the table, right? Literally, like hot on the table, right? Which means if you don't eat it immediately, she's going to be upset because she had it hot and it was ready, right? So you have to eat right away. And she's, how was your day? Here's how my day was. She's so excited to see me, right? And for me, I didn't respond well to that all the time because I wanted a minute, right? Just give me a second, right? I was in construction. Let me go shower, you know, let me just decompress. So it caused friction. All right, when we did this the first time, she punched me in the arm when we read this. And she said, that's why. Right, and we were able to figure out. I'm more than happy, as she's my wife. I'd love to provide all these things for her, right, to show her approval, to make sure I lean in and let her know that she's accepted. I have attention, affection, all those things, right? I'm more than happy. I love doing those things for her, right? When I understand that's what she needs. And she's more than happy. She'll tell me now sometimes, you need to go take a minute. How about I wash the kid? Go work out. Go do something, right? Probably because I'm being annoying at the time, right? But go do something. She'll happily give me what I need when we understand what the other person's looking for. We won't go through everyone here in the small group. We may have time to do a little bit more. But when you understand what the other person needs, most of the time, we're happy to give that. So we need to identify, what does this person need in the conversation? What is it that I'm looking for? Because if we can verbalize that more clearly, we can get where we'd like to be a lot sooner. Does everyone see these needs in themselves and maybe in some others? You see how that'd be helpful?
You can see red's push can cause stress, which a green feels uncomfortable with, but it also causes production. Blues can start to feel like they're not enough at times, need for perfection. And yellows can sometimes just want to have fun, not get enough done. So you have to look for me as a red, how I interact with these other people. My wife, where she does her quiet time in the morning, is a swivel chair. So the back faces the room. And you run at your own risk if you go up and try to interrupt her at that time. We get in, go work out early in the morning every morning. And we have a spot. We do not talk. In the morning, I get up earlier. I do all my quiet time, all those things, to follow my routine. We don't say usually one word to each other. We get in the car. And then I pray when we hit a certain spot in the road. And then she may or may not talk to me before we work out. After workout, she may talk to me. Where as soon as I wake up in the morning, I'm good to go. Literally open my eyes, I'm up. I'm ready. She said it takes her a while to get more open. She wants some space and silence. It's not right or wrong. It's just who we are. Does that make sense to everybody? Okay. Why don't we finish?
Yes, we'll do. This is the next one is manipulation tactics. All right, and you've probably tried all of these at some point. This is typically your go-to. And I told you earlier, this is the one that when I saw this, I was like, well, I know which one I go to first, so I'm definitely blue. And that's a little embarrassing, but here we are. Now, yellows, go-to is charm and flattery. Right? They want to have a good time, so they'll deflect away from the issue. Right? Here's whatever this, the disagreement starts to come up. Well, what about this thing? Didn't you see the Bears game last night? Wasn't that cool? Right? We'll talk about something different. Right? We'll kind of deflect. Or you're so good at this. Let's go to reds. You never would have guessed this. Reds manipulate with tone and volume. Right? They get more intense. Right, as you're doing early, they kind of lean in. You might see their face change a little bit. The volume might increase. They're very direct. I want my way. Here's what we're going to do. Right, and they're just going to be pretty upfront and in your face about it. Greens, from that example earlier, how was that guy manipulating and trying to get his way? Well, he was being stubborn and he was procrastinating. He wasn't going to do it. Right, that's a very, it's a low conflict to start with form of manipulation because not going to rock the boat. I'm also not going to do it. Right? So greens tend to use procrastination and stubbornness. Blues will go with moods and silence. If you think of like a five-year-old doing the silent treatment, right, that's kind of what it is. Right? Just withdrawing our glorious presence from everybody else and assuming that means they'll get the idea. Right? And of course, if I'm not in the room, they're never going to be able to function. So they'll understand that I'm upset and they'll come fix it. Right? So you see each of these. We'll use an example. Again, we had a perfect relationship. We never fought, even when I was a teenager. There's never any issues. Hypothetically, though, if there was some sort of disagreement, what do you think he would start with as a very dominant red? Tone and volume. All right, I'm a blue, secondary's red. What do you think I would respond to his tone and volume with as a default? Moods and silence. What do you think my moods and silence did to his tone and volume? Do you think it helped? No, it got even higher. So now we have more tone and volume, which what do you think I responded with? More moods and silence. And then he did what?
Escalated.
More tone and volume. And then my secondary's red. Guess what I would try? Tone and volume. All right, what do you think happened then? My mom got very anxious. Right, because now there's just all of us using a lot of tone and volume, and that was actually when we would connect. So actually, once I went to tone and volume, we actually usually solved the problem pretty quick.
That's why I finally became a red, and everything was good again. That's how we're going to conclude. Everyone become a red. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. But you can see how each one of these has a different spiral. There's pros and cons to each one, right? If you're not careful, it's going to be mostly cons. But you want to understand in your relationship with others, what is their go-to, so you can help avoid the pitfalls of that, right? Sometimes it would take us too long. We'd get too angry, right? And we wouldn't be very productive. Eventually, something would happen, but we might not be very productive during it. If you don't have a red, you may never address the issue, which is also a problem, right? The issue does need to get solved. If you are a red, or if you do have a red, here's something else that happens a lot. The red goes until they think the problem's done, but the non-red never really voiced their opinion. So now they don't think the problem is resolved. So what do you do when you have a problem that's not resolved that somebody else thinks it is? Well, if you're one of these other colors, especially blues and greens, that's where resentment comes in. That's where bitterness might take root. And we know some Bible verses about that. That's less than good. Right? So if you don't voice those opinions, if you're not careful, if you don't have resolution, those things can fester, right, and cause issues. There's pros and cons to each one. You want to make sure that we're able to address it fully. And we're not going to take much longer here, right? In the small group, we'll be able to go into a little more detail. But hopefully you can start to see how, you know, this can shape your communication, right? How you can interact better with others, how most of the time if we provide what other people are looking for, we can understand what they're looking for from communication. We can be much more productive and selfishly get our own way eventually in our communication. We can help other people come to a better understanding, right?
So I think if you look at yourself, where do I need to be aware? Grow in your self-awareness. And the awareness of the people around you. Especially if you're a parent, we need to understand our children better. We don't want to put them in frustration. We don't want to make them where they can't communicate. If everyone's shutting down around you, be aware. If everyone's avoiding you, be aware. If everywhere you go, you feel resentful, you need to be aware. Pay attention. Like I said, in the small group, we'll get into strength training, which is how you can be aware and grow and improve. It's like going to the gym. We'll show you what you can do, and we'll show you a build up, tear down. And we'll go more in depth over what your strengths and weaknesses are so you can be understanding of how you can adjust to the people around you just as Jesus adjusted to the environments and people he was around. So I want you to start introspectively saying, what can I take away? What are my points that I need to think, this needs to change, this needs to change. This is how I adapt to the people around us. So I appreciate you allowing Dave and I to come be a part. Pastor, if you want to come up and apply or figure out what you need to do next in the service, and if you can be there, we'll be glad to take you more in depth, and hopefully this is beneficial to you.